Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back. I've been gone for some time, but I'm grateful to be back with you all. And we're beginning a new sermon series. And I had a sermon pretty much prepared. Not all the way, but pretty much prepared. But then as I sat in the office this morning, getting ready to finish it, I felt like God was just saying pretty clearly that it's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. And I felt like God was saying to spend some more time on it. Not so that it can be a perfect sermon that I deliver to you to blow your minds, but so that I might be able to honor what God wants to do with it. And then I had to wonder, obviously, okay, if I'm not going to preach the sermon that I prepared this week, what am I going to do? See, I've been gone for a month. I've been out of the pulpit for 6 weeks. And as your pastor, I wanted to offer you something good and beautiful and true, something meaningful for your spiritual lives. But if I wasn't going to give you what I had prepared, what am I going to give you? And I was sitting in the office and I was struck by a scene from a TV show called The Bear. The Bear, which I was watching season 2 of on my sabbatical. And if you haven't seen the show, watch it. It will change the way you dine at restaurants and hopefully make you fall in love with Chicago all over again. It's a great show. It takes place in Chicago, has to do with a chef, much more than that. Well, all of season 2 is about them opening up a fine dining restaurant, all the challenges that that entails. And towards the end of the season, they're hosting their first dinner at the restaurant, and it's for family and friends. It's a way for them to test out cooking the menu for people. It's sort of the pre-opening night. And of course, all sorts of things are going wrong, right? All sorts of things. And the pressure in the kitchen is intense. And Sydney, who is the chef of the restaurant, she's making sure that everything is cooked perfectly, that it's plated beautifully, that it gets to the wait staff on time. She's in the position where she's expediting the orders, making sure everything is good in the back and gets out to the front the way it needs to. And Tina, who is the sous chef, primarily on the meat station, is cooking this beautiful, huge cut of meat. I don't remember if it's a pork chop or a steak cut, but it's big. It takes a long time to cook. And it looks pretty good on the plate, on TV. But Sydney looks at it, the chef, and says, "It's not right. Make it again." And Tina, with a face that sort of betrays her dismay, says, "Chef, I think it's close enough. Like, if I cook this again, we're going to be behind on everything." And Sydney looks at her and says, "Make it again." And so she does. And in the scene, you have to kind of try to decide, is Sydney just kind of being a punk and being cruel to the sous chef who's underneath her in position? Is she acting out of that cruelty, or is she acting out of love for the diners in that I don't want anyone to get something that isn't prepared as it's meant to be? And when that scene flashed to my mind, I felt like God was the chef saying, "It's not done yet. Make it again." And I'm thinking, well, things are going to get behind then. Not only do I not know what I'm going to give you today, but we're beginning this series in Ephesians, and it's all lined up to go a certain way, and it's going to get behind. But I felt like not out of cruelty towards me, but out of love for God's people, God said, make it again. And then I was left with the question again, well, what do I give them then, if not this meal, so to speak, that I've been preparing? And I felt like God simply said, Matt, just give them my word. Let them chew on and savor my word this morning. Like I said, we're beginning a series in the book of Ephesians, and the text for today was Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 14, which I still plan to preach on next Sunday. And this passage really stands out in all of biblical literature. It's robust and complex and beautiful. In fact, beginning in verse 3, from verse 3 to verse 14, in the Greek, it's all one super long sentence. 202 words, depending on how you see it. And that's a long sentence. Most translations break it up into like 6 to 8 sentences. But in the Greek, it's all one long sentence. Eugene Peterson says this about those words. He says, who can resist this marvelous tumbling cataract of poetry that introduces us to the vast and intricate complexities of this world in which we live? Not many. Paul is playful, extravagant, and totally engaging as he tells us what is going on in this God-created, Christ-saved, Spirit-blessed world into which we have been born and are now growing up. This is no small, cramped world in which we live from hand to mouth. The horizons are vast. The heavens are high. The oceans are deep. We have elbow room to spare. Because these verses are so rich, in sermons, they often get dissected, broken into more digestible pieces, and explained. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I felt like God was saying, Matt, this morning, don't just describe to these people what it tastes like. Let them taste it for themselves. I think God wants us to begin this series, this place where we'll be camping out for the next 3 to 4 months, by tasting His word for ourselves. And so to do that, we'll engage in this ancient way of reading scripture called Lectio Divina. Okay, so this will be a participatory time together where I guide us in some prayerful reading. Lectio Divina is a contemplative reading of scripture. It's a spiritual practice of meditation, of meditating on God's word, in which we'll slowly and prayerfully read and reread this text in order to listen and apply God's word to our lives. Lectio Divina, you can hear it, it's Latin, it probably sounds old, it is. It's an ancient monastic practice that is still used by many, many Christians, not just those in monasteries today. And the goal for this type of reading isn't so much intellectual knowledge, but conversational intimacy with God. Conversational intimacy with God. So we're not seeking information as much as formation. We're learning to apply this historical and inspired text to the personal text of our lives today. So in Lectio Divina, there's 4 movements. I'll put this on the screen. There's these 4 movements, also in Latin. We got lectio, which means reading. Meditatio, which means, I bet you can guess this one, meditation. oratio, which means prayer, and contemplatio, which means contemplation. I love it when a Latin word is basically the same as an English word, just without the N at the end. It makes it easy to translate. But you can also do sort of four R's, which makes it a lot easier to remember the four movements. And there you can see lectio, read, meditatio, reflect, respond, and simply rest at the end. So to stick with this culinary metaphor, I want to describe these four movements like this. The first one, we have read. In Lectio, to read the Word of God is to take it as food and just put it in your mouth, okay? Taking it, putting it in, that's the reading part. We listen carefully to the Scripture without hurry and without intellectual strain. We're not trying to make sure we understand every single aspect of it. We're just receiving it at first, just taking it in like food. In this, we also wait quietly for the Holy Spirit to bring God's Word to life. Then you pause on a particular portion or a word in that reading that seems to be jumping out to you, that seems to be, if you were reading it, rising off the pages of Scripture that God's giving for you. That's the first. Second is reflect. And this is like to meditate on it. So we've put it in our mouth in reading. To meditate on it is when you start chewing. You start sort of chewing your food, going over it. You reflect and ponder its deep meaning. Here you might gently repeat to yourself that phrase or word that stands out to you. Again, turning it over and over, like chewing on it, like a dog gnawing on a bone, until it starts to affect you, pull up some feelings, or begin renewing your mind. And then the third R, we respond in prayer. This way of praying Scripture is like beginning to taste your food. We've taken it in, we're chewing on it, now you're tasting it. Now we're responding to the words that God has given us with feelings. We're confessing our sins or struggles as they connect to God's Word. We're asking God what we need or what others need. We're responding in prayer. It's tasting the food. Finally, you rest in contemplation. To contemplate on God's Word is to begin to digest its goodness, right? So we've taken it in, we've chewed on it, we've tasted it, and now we're digesting the goodness. The nourishment of the food is sinking in. Rest quietly in God's loving arms. At this point, oftentimes, no words are necessary. Just simply sit and be with God, which can be hard for many of us. All right. Now we're going to actually do it. We're going to spend some time in this text. I'll be reading Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 10, which is a longer chunk than you might normally do with this kind of thing, but it's enough that I trust that God is speaking to each and every one of us through it. Okay? So, let's begin. Take a moment. We'll be quiet, and we are going to find a posture that's comfortable to you. That might mean intentionally sort of sitting up if you're slouching, putting your feet on the floor. Might mean putting your hands in your lap. You don't need anything to take notes. You don't need your Bible in front of you during this first reading. So just set that aside for a moment. We'll pick it up during the next readings. And simply try to be present before God. You can close your eyes if you'd like. And now in the stillness, I encourage you to notice any thoughts or concerns that even now, even already, are popping up that could be a distraction for you. Something that might get in the way of having this experience with God. What are those thoughts? Take a moment to notice those. Whatever it is, the lawn needs to be mowed. Did I leave wet laundry in the machine? Whatever it is, notice them. They could be much bigger anxieties as well. And now take a moment to intentionally in prayer surrender these thoughts to Jesus. Whatever the thought is, identify it, take it in prayer to Jesus, and guess what? This is an act of faith. You can entrust this thing to Jesus, and you can say, Jesus, please remind me of this at a time that's more appropriate. I trust that you will. You'll remind me. I'll get the laundry when it's ready. Right now, I'm going to spend time with you. So take a moment to pray that to God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says to the church, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." So as we begin this, I encourage you to use your imagination now. Visualize yourself opening a door, and in your own words, invite Jesus into this time with you. Because he says, if anyone opens the door, he'll come in and eat with you. He'll come in and sit with you. Now that you've hopefully become a bit more present to God in this moment, why don't you take a moment to share what you need from God right now? Share that with him. You've opened the door. You've identified the distractions. Now you can share with God what you need from him. What would you like to get from his word? If God could speak a particular word to you, what would you need it to be? And take a moment to share that. And then we'll dive into the text. Now we'll hear from God's word from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. And what you're doing now, again, is simply listening to the scriptures read. I encourage you to close your eyes and just hear them read. It's not often in my life, probably not often in your life, where you get to simply listen to the scriptures read over you. So I encourage you to do that. If you find your mind racing too much and it's too distracting, you can open up your Bible and follow along or follow along on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Did any words or phrases stick out to you? As we listen again, I want you this time to intentionally be listening for a word or phrase that God might be highlighting for you. This can literally be a single word, like love, grace, adoption, father, blameless. Or it could be a whole phrase. But see if God brings anything to mind. Trust that the Spirit is active and working right now. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now, take your word or phrase, and I encourage you to write it down somewhere. If you did bring a journal or a Bible, go ahead and write that down, trusting that God is speaking to you. If you're still thinking of a phrase that God might have for you or trying to identify one, that's okay too. But if you have one, write it down. If you don't have anything to write it down on, maybe send a quick message to yourself on your phone or something like that. If God is speaking to you, it's always advisable to take note of it. Take note of it, because this is going to be a long series, right? We're going to be here 3-4 months in Ephesians, and you may want to keep recurringly coming back to this early moment. What was God saying to me? What's he showing me through this book? Now, I want to give you a moment. Take that word or phrase and bring it to God in prayer. So I'm going to give you just a moment to bring that before God, before we read through this text a final time. If you still don't have a word or phrase, you may want to bring that to God in prayer. Lord, why am I having a hard time hearing you this morning? Just speak to him on behalf of that. Take a moment to do that. Okay, this third and final time reading it, I want you to keep your word or phrase in mind and also listen for an invitation. So as you hear this read for the third time, listen to an invitation from God. What might God be inviting you to know? Maybe there's something you need to know about him or his love. To do? Maybe God is inviting you into a new way of living, or to become. What is God inviting you to become? So think about that. What is God inviting you to know, to do, or become? And as you hear this, you might want to take note of that as well. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now, if God offered you a word that stuck out, a phrase, or an invitation to know, to do, or to become, take note of it. If you can, write it down, and then let it go for a moment, and we'll end simply taking a moment in silence to rest in the loving embrace of God. So take a moment to do that now. Heavenly Father, what can we say but thank you? Thank you. Thank you that you have invited us, made a way, adopted us into your family. And God, you've adopted us all as sons, which actually isn't exclusionary of gender, but it means that men and women are both sons, which means we both get the full inheritance. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen. I want to encourage you, if God has spoken to you through his scripture this morning, to share it with someone. To share it with someone in this church, outside of this church as well, if there was a word, if there was an invitation. And here's why. Because until that type of conversation becomes normative, it's always going to feel strange. It's always going to feel like, are they going to want to talk about that? Or are they going to think it's weird? And until it becomes normative, it's actually not super safe to do this kind of stuff. It's not super safe if you're just hearing from God and never sharing it from anyone else. Because there's no community to be able to say, actually, that's kind of crazy or dangerous or outside of the character of God, right? But if you listen to God in community, then we have the bounds of community to encourage one another. If someone hears, I think God is telling me he hates me because I've done such and such, then someone else in the faithful community can say, no, check this out. There is therefore now no condemnation for anyone under Christ. And they can share with you the love of Christ that God is truly speaking over you. Does that make sense? But until we're actually having those conversations, it doesn't do much good. So I encourage you, even if you feel uncomfortable with it, after you hear from our global ministry partner, at the brunch downstairs at the potluck, spend some time talking to each other and sharing how God is speaking to you in your life. Let it become normative. Let it become normal in your conversations.